Acts 16. My key verses are, it was already read for you, but my key verses are 25 and 26. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is just so wonderful because Dr. Shannon was all in my message talking about prayer. So that's confirmation. My Bible, which is the New Living Translation, reads it so. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. See, that's why we as Christians have to be careful how we carry ourselves, because the other people in the world are watching. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. See, when God blesses you, don't you know? My grandma used to say, when I see God blessing my neighbor, I know he on the block. God is so big that he can bless you, and your neighbor standing right next to you will receive a blessing too. Amen. For a thought, I want to talk this morning about one string. Amen? Amen. One string. You may be seated. Let us look away to the Lord. Eternal God, our Father, we come right now lifting you up above the earth, God, just to say thank you. God, you've been good. God, you have been good. So for that, God, for watching over us, for watching over me, Lord, I say thank you. Forgive me, God. God, as I stand behind the sacred desk, God, declaring what you said, God, I am not ashamed to say that I have not been so holy, neither have I been so righteous, God, neither have I kept your commandments so well. Sin have left the crimson stain, God, but you promised that you'd wash me whiter than snow if I confess my sins to you, God. Thank you for forgiving me, God. Now, God, as I would preach your word, God, lower me into the storehouse of knowledge. Give me content and clarity. A rhema word right now, God. Lord, we need to hear from you right now, God. If we don't hear from you, we won't know what to do, God. And we'll be so ever careful and mindful to give your name the glory and the honor that it deserves in Jesus' name. Let self be crucified so that you may be glorified and the devil in hell may be horrified. In Jesus' name, let the people of God say amen. 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 Legend has it that an Italian violinist by the name of Niccolo Piccini, sometime in the 1800s, was in a concert before a large crowd of people playing his violin. And as he was playing a very difficult piece of music with his violin, a string snapped. Improvising nevertheless beautifully, he continued to play the composition with three strings on his violin. Before he knew it, two more strings snapped. Now, Piccini is playing his violin with one string. Improvising beautifully, he finishes all of the scores and the compositions, and as he stands up and bows, he nods over to the conductor for an encore. He holds his violin up and he nods at the audience and he says, Piccini, and one string, and continues to play the encore with a violin with one string. Saints of God, I don't know about you, but sometimes that's just the way I feel in life. One minute, everything is going well and swell, and the next minute, a string snaps, and everything is going bad. Can I have a witness here today? One minute, you go to work, and they're celebrating you on Monday, telling you that you have been voted employee of the month. Come Wednesday, they're ready to fire you. You find you a lovely young bride. She's in love with you. You get married. One minute, she loves you. The next minute, she's running and leaving you. Life will make you just snap. In our text today, Paul and Silas can attach to the story of Pagini about things going well one second and then not so well the next second. They had just finished their first convert mission in Europe when trouble, somebody say trouble, when trouble found them. Now notice I didn't say that they ran into trouble, but how many of you know that in this life and in this journey that we call Christianity, that trouble has a way of walking up your gangway to your door, walking up your steps and knocking to come in. I'm talking about trouble today. They were on their way to a place called Prositra, which was a place of prayer. So if I could stick a pin in there, like my grandmama would say, when was the last time you walked up to a place of prayer? When was the last time you took time just to sit down and commune with God? You don't have to answer that. That's rhetorical. A place of worship where the apostles spent their days preaching the gospel. See? Do you understand that it's when you get your life together, it's when you commit to God, that the enemy is going to come full barrel for you? Have I got a witness? As the apostles were on their place, as Paul the apostle was on his way to, with Silas to preach and to pray, they were met by a demon-possessed girl. You're going to meet some demons on your way to church. Okay, let me rephrase that. You're going to see some demons at church. You're going to be sitting sometimes, not in this place right here because we prayed up right, next to some demons at church. I didn't say it. Luke said it. The Bible says that this demon-possessed girl had the ability of foretelling the future. And when they encountered her, they shifted her whole atmosphere. Let me stick a pin there. How is your relationship with God? How is the anointing hovering over your head? If you walk past the wrong person, will they know that you are a child of God? I can remember I started preaching at 17 and I had got sick of the gospel and I had got sick of church folk. Come on, I guess that's just me, right? I got sick of doing business as usual. So I said, I'm going to the bar and I'm having me a drink. I'm 21. I ain't never drunk. Got my stuff together. Went inside the bar. Set at the bar, set them up, Joe. Get it going. Give me the hottest thing you got. The bartender looks at me, he said, are you a Jehovah Witness? The guy next to me said, ain't you somebody's deacon? I tried to run from my calling, but my calling was right there. Don't you know when God changes your life? You can't run from him. Just ask Jonah, who found himself in the belly of, I'm not preaching about that, I'm sorry. Acts of the Apostles. Now, for my biblical scholars and my historians out there, the girl that they encounter, it is said that she was possessed by the spirit of Python, which according to Greek fable was a huge serpent who had an oracle on Mount Parnassus, which was famous for predicting the future. After the serpent had been slain by Apollo, Apollo took on the spirit of Pyotis, and he was celebrated as being the premier fortune teller of people. Hey, people being able to read your hand and tell the future, there's nothing new about it. That's just a perverted gift of God. So when you get ready to call the psychic network, all those people are doing is using a perverted gift of God to tell you the future. But I submit to you today, if you really want to know the future, just pick up your Bible and just read it. So back to my text, we find this demon-possessed girl. As Paul and Silas walks past her, they shift her whole atmosphere. They didn't say nothing. They didn't do nothing, but she was changed. Preachers, are people changed by our atmosphere? We shouldn't even have to open our mouths today. People should be able to walk past us, brush past us, and lives be changed. Really, Jesus said, greater works shall you do. Greater work shall you do. As soon as Paul and Silas, I got a couple more minutes. I got 12 o'clock, okay. Can I tell my story? As soon as Paul and Silas brushed past them, not only did she read their future, she began to scream out loud, these men are men of the Most High, and they're here to tell us how to be saved. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I could get in my ego just a little bit. Now, if I was walking past somebody and they said, this man is here, he's a man of God, and he's here to show us how to be saved, I'd have to, you know, get my collar together a little bit, smile a little bit, say, yeah, you know, she got it right. Flesh and blood alone didn't reveal that to her. Amen. But Paul and Silas had to endure this day in and day out. These men, every time they got ready to open their mouth, these men, every time they got ready to pray. And you know, I don't know about you, but it's hard enough to pray without somebody interrupting you anyway, isn't it? St. Ignatius said, try saying the Lord's Prayer and not have a negative or any other thought come in your mind. St. Ignatius said, he bet a monk. He said, if you can think, not think about anything but the Lord, doing the Lord's Prayer while you're reciting it, I will buy you a bottle of wine. Come on, preacher. And as he started praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, what kind of wine is it? Every word she uttered was the truth. She followed Paul shouting at them. After a while, it wasn't funny. After a while, it wasn't fun. After a while, it was just a nuisance. Every word she uttered was true. But how many of you know that after a while, experiencing the same thing over and over and over and over again becomes burdensome? So Paul, being grieved, the Bible says, grieve, turn to the girl and commands the spirit to come out of her. Now listen, Paul turned to who? The girl, and commanded the spirit. Quit worrying about what people are saying about you. Quit worrying about the motives of people, because it's not them. We wrestle not against flesh and but against spiritual wickedness in high places, against principalities. Paul turned to the girl and called the spirit out. I'm convinced you don't have a problem in your house. You don't have a problem at work. You don't have a problem at school. You keep talking to the person and not to the spirit. I got to calm myself down, right? I don't want to get too excited. He turns to the girl, calls the spirit out in Jesus' name. You can't come for the Father unless you go through the Son. In Jesus' name, Jesus said in John 16, the 25th chapter, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask, see, you won't have a problem. You just ain't been asking in the right name. You've been asking in your name. You've been asking in Bill's name. You've been asking on behalf of mama and grandmama who already gone on to glory. You better start asking for what you want in Jesus' name. And immediately, boom, the girl was healed. But let's look at this distraction. A, Paul was grieved because the girl was distracting him and he couldn't get his message across to people. I want you to understand today, people of God, that the trials that we go through, that the dramas we go through, that the negative thoughts that the enemy throws at us are nothing more than a distraction. If he can distract you from the work that God has for you, he wins. 2AB, every word that the girl was saying was true. However, Satan in the process was trying to discredit God. Christianity was so new that the people would have thought that the same Romans who was using devil and idol worship was using Paul and Silas. And this thing called Christianity was so new that Paul couldn't afford to let anything hinder what he was doing. Is Christianity so new to you that anything can hinder it? How many people have you hindered? But Paul couldn't afford for this thing to get derailed. So Paul, seeing the purpose of Satan, sometimes we got to get out of our emotions and sit back and see the purpose of the enemy in the situation before we respond. Am I hitting everybody today? I'm coming for the young folk and I'm coming for the seasoned citizens. Y'all not chasing me with pitchforks out of here. Get out of your emotions. He commanded the spirit come out of the girl, and it happened immediately. When the demon-possessed girl masters, see, I want you to understand something. You got some masters around you that's pulling your strings, and you don't even know it. That's deep, ain't it? We'll talk about it later because I got to run. When the demon-possessed girl's master saw the demons exit the girl, they snapped. See, you thought everybody was happy that you went to AA and got off the bottle. Yeah. You thought that everybody was happy for you when you got married. Haters gonna hate. Everybody ain't happy to see you delivered. They were angry. They not happy to see you in AA because they want to get you drunk so they can drink your fifth. They don't want you to stop rolling blunts because if they can give you one hit, then they can smoke. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the West Side coming out of me. I'm sorry. You better quit thinking that everybody is excited about God blessing you. You better quit thinking everybody is excited for God showing himself to you. Start keeping what God tells you a secret until God shows himself. They had Paul and Silas. They were pimping her. Everybody who pimp you ain't doing it sexually. They were pimping her gifts. So they brought Paul and Silas before the court. They said, these men are trying to start a new religion against Roman protocol. What say you people? They stripped them naked. They beat them and threw them in jail. Now, I don't know about you, but I've watched enough prison movies in my life. Going in jail is one thing. But going in jail, beaten and naked. Talk about humiliation. But Paul and Silas bared it. As I run to my seat, the Bible says at midnight, somebody say midnight. At the darkest and the lowest point of your life, somebody say midnight. See, for my country folk, when you can't see your hand in front of your face because there are no street lights. The Bible says, and listen, I know a thing about the country because my name is Eddie Joe Otha Smith. I had to laugh myself. My grandfather's name was Otha Bell. Chula, Mississippi. At midnight, at the lowest point of your life, Paul and Silas prayed. They didn't pick up their iPhone and get on Facebook and send out a ranty post. They didn't get on Twitter and type in 140 characters about what they were going through. They didn't send out a Snapchat. Deacon, they didn't even do it for the vine. But Paul and Silas prayed. I want to ask you a question today, People's Community Church. At the lowest point of your life, when things seem to be going all wrong, when nobody is there for you, when nobody's around you, when everything seems to be going horrible, what are you doing? Paul and Silas prayed. Now let me stick a pin there as I go to my seat. I want to show you this. As they prayed, the prisoners around them were watching and listening. Don't you understand? Men, when we go through, wives, when we go through, your children, your household, your family, everybody is watching you. You're talking about this thing called God, but will you crack under the pressure? Paul and Silas prayed. And at midnight, there came a quaking. Can you feel it? There came a shaking. Boom! The innermost parts of the prison were shaken and destroyed till its foundation. Not only was the prison messed up, he behind me, he want me to holler. Not only was the prison messed up, but everybody chains fell loose. That's enough. Everybody's chain. See, I can hoop, but I'm just not. Everybody chained. Every prisoner was free. Don't you understand that your situation is connected to my situation, is connected to his situation? And when God delivers me, stand still, seek the salvation of the Lord, God is going to deliver everybody. That's right, that's where you clap. She got it. And when God deliver you, you don't have to run for nobody. Just stand there. Can you imagine Paul and Silas standing there? The prisoners saw what had happened. Drew his sword to kill himself. Paul said, whoa, 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 whoa. See, when God do it, somebody say God do it. When God fix your situation, you don't have to run from nobody. Told him not to kill himself. We all here. God did it. We don't have to run and hide because God did it. The prisoners ran to Paul and Silas, said, what? Who is this God that just delivered you? What we go through as I take my seat, part of it is for our making. Yep, gives us character. Gives us broader shoulders. You know, if you've never been through nothing, how you gonna tell somebody something? That's why I'm convinced God has put me through so much hell at a young age so I can tell somebody something about it. Square these shoulders of mine. But people are watching you. You! He said, I got six boys. I thank God for giving me. Do you know what God is telling me by giving me six boys? I'm raising husbands. I'm raising head of households. I'm raising generations that'll come behind me when I'm dead and gone. See, that's what's wrong with us black folk. We don't want to raise our boys. But you better tell your neighbor to raise his boy because that's the one that's looking at your daughter. At midnight, as I take my seat, Paul and Silas prayed. You got to learn how to push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. I dare you at your midnight, begin to pray. Something will happen. Amen. Come on, put those hands together and give God a praise.